everybody, Happy New Year. Welcome to the Tuesday Toolbox meeting of adult children of alcoholics in Cobbleville, Brooklyn. My name is Anne. I'm a Tuesday Toolbox member and an adult child. We are recording our speakers every week because we're hoping others will benefit from hearing these stories from our members. We'd love to hear your comments and questions. Our email address is tuesdaytoolboxaca@gmail.com. Adult Children of Alcoholics is a 12-step program of recovery for people who grew up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional home. If you'd like to find a meeting in your area, go to adultchildren.org and click on Find a Meeting. Our speaker this week is Juliet, and her topic is communicating with her inner child. Please enjoy.
Are you keeping time? 15 minutes. How long is it?
15.
Can I have a 10, a 5, and a 1?
Okay.
Hi, I'm Juliet. Will share on the tool of connecting with your inner child through non-dominant handwriting, which is writing with the hand that you don't normally use to write. And I'll just read a little passage here from the Big Red Book about that. So it says, as mentioned, it's talking about tools and techniques for connecting with our inner child, chapter 8. And it says, as mentioned, there is non-dominant handwriting in which we write out a question to our inner child with our dominant hand, the hand we use to sign our name. Then we write the response to the question by placing the pen in the opposite hand. We might write out, hello, little Johnny or little Marie. I would like to talk to you and to introduce myself. Have you been? I'm here to listen to you if you would like to talk. Write down any response with the non-dominant hand. The thoughts may be random or incomplete sentences, but we write down what comes to mind without judging ourselves. We keep an open mind. We do not try to force solutions or results. We will get results if we are patient and consistent with the exercise. So, I don't really do that, but I do sometimes, I sporadically journal in the morning, and I'll journal for like 2 pages, and then often for the third page, I will just write like, how are you, like, what's up, and then I'll write with my non-dominant hand, and I do feel like, I'm not sure if it's actually the writing with the non-dominant hand. Maybe it is. But it could also just be like really creating a space for bringing awareness and attention to this idea of an inner child. It's a concept that I'm not like fully comfortable with. I sometimes, when I hear about the inner child or like when I read like little Johnny or little Marie, I get like a little bit like, it's so weird. Like, but I do feel like through this program, there's been a kind of recognition of some part of myself that is childlike and kind of in need of attention. And when I try to like, kind of bulldoze her or ignore her, I'm not as fully present or awake or spiritually connected as I am when I pay attention. So I'll just a little bit of my background. I grew up in a family where my dad was an alcoholic who stopped drinking when I was a baby, but he didn't go to recovery. He just like went to rehab, and then he like was supposedly done drinking. And my mom is very much qualifies, I would say, for a certain like Al-Anon type program. And there was always this narrative that when my dad was drinking, like, he was really sick, but then once he stopped drinking, like that's okay. Then it's like, it's all, he's not drinking anymore. And there was always this real fear for me of like becoming like my dad. And basically, like, growing up, my dad, you know, he wasn't drinking for a little while, but then he was smoking pot, and then there was all this dysfunction in my family, and the alcoholism was, it didn't just have to do with his drinking or his pot smoking, it was this dynamic that pervaded every sort of relationship, and definitely, like, pervaded my relationship with my family and my relationship with myself. And my experience coming into these rooms was that I was in a long-term romantic relationship, and I started to feel like I was kind of disappearing into it, like I was losing myself, like I didn't know who I was anymore, or like there was just, I had no idea who I was, and I felt this intense desire not to become my dad, and yet this strong magnetic pull of, like, that I was becoming my dad at the same time, or like I was manifesting the same symptoms, not alcoholic, I didn't have the disease of drinking, but I had all the other pieces of it, and it was manifesting, and I was trying to fight it by, like, thinking my way out of it and analyzing my way out of it, and it just, that wasn't working. And I went to Al-Anon, and that long romantic relationship ended, and I got so much help and relief through that other program, and it really, really helped my relationship with other people. I started to learn boundaries, and I started to learn how to take care of myself and, like, put the attention on myself and not be so focused on other people and, like, survive outside of a relationship, like how to be on my own. And then I got into another relationship, like, a year or two later. It was just a short relationship. It was just, like, a year and a half. And then we broke up. And, like, I was totally devastated. Like, it just completely knocked me sideways. Like, I had no idea that there was so much pain and grief, like, living inside of me. And it was just, like, my heart totally broke. And I wasn't prepared for that because I thought, you know, I was, like, recovering and recovered. So I came to this program, and to me, this program, I see it as a way to, like, relate to myself and to heal from the intense grief. Not even heal from, to, like, hopefully heal from, but also just to process and look at and share the intense grief that I have from my childhood. And the intense, for me, a huge part of it is, like, abandonment, fear. And so the inner child thing, the inner child thing most recently, like, my experience with that has been much, very much related to my work, because I'm in a creative field, and when I was a kid, I used to write, and I used to, like, write stories and write poems and have my fantasy world, and I would, like, bring them to my parents for, like, validation and attention, and bring them to school for validation and attention. And now I'm in a creative field where I'm writing, and I'm, like, I'm tasked with, like, creating something and then bringing it to people for, like, validation and attention. And this past a couple weeks ago, I had all these, like opportunities to do all these various creative things and then, like, bring them forward. And I had to go to LA, and I had to do a pitch. And like a week before the pitch, I got like really bad insomnia. And it wasn't the kind of like mental insomnia where your mind is going. It was like a physical insomnia where as I would start to drift off to sleep, I would be like, I was like seized with this physical feeling right here of like, you can't go to sleep. Like it woke me, it wouldn't let me sleep. This thing, whatever it was, wouldn't let me sleep. Mm-hmm. And it was getting worse and worse. And the more that I was not sleeping, the less I could sleep. And it like developed this like anxiety around sleep.
5 minutes.
Thank you. My friend who's Korean said they have a word for it in Korean, which is like, it translates as like scissors at your throat. Like as you're starting to sleep, it's just like scissors at your throat. But you know, I was so in it, it got so bad that like I just stopped being able to sleep at all. And that was terrifying. And I was able to get through it. I did the pitch and everything. But after that, the night after that happened, the night after the pitch, I again couldn't sleep. But that night, I didn't have this pressure to perform on me, so I was able to just lie there and say, like, put my hand on my chest and say, like, sweetheart, it's okay. You don't have to sleep. You don't have to sleep. And I realize in hindsight, like, that was my inner child, like, keeping me awake. Like, the fear of failure, the people-pleasing, the terror of... Another piece of it is, like, if I get these jobs, I probably have to move to LA, like, permanently. And there's a kid inside, or there's a piece of me that's like, wait a minute. We're going to move to LA. We're going to, like, stand up in front of all these people. We're going to, like, put all our creative insides out and expose ourselves completely to these people we don't know. And, like, what if it doesn't work? And what if, like, they don't like us? And what if we move and I'm, like, completely alone? And what if I leave, my family lives here. And, like, this is terrifying stuff. I don't like to like break myself up into like two different pieces, but like it's like, but I was trying to kind of just be like, but we have to do this. We have to do this. We just have to do it because I can't fail at this, and I have to, like, the most important thing here is that I succeed and that these people like me and think I did a good job. And, you know, just trying to kind of ignore that other stuff that was going on, and it was not going to be ignored, and it was made itself felt, you know, heard. No, you can't sleep because I'm really scared. Like,
yeah.
you can't just no. So I feel really grateful to have the tools and the like some language for talking about that and recognizing it. And now, you know, it's like the holidays, and I did do like non-dominant writing about this because I've been having all this grief over the holidays, because when I was a kid, I really loved the holidays. Like, I loved Christmas. My parents were separated from when I was really young, but on Christmas, for whatever reason, they would be together for one night. Like, we would all be in the same house, and I would, like, wait up and, like, listen for Santa, and, like, my dad would make a present for me, and in the morning, like, he would, like, make hot apple cider for us, and we would open presents. It was like the one time when it was all this kind of fairy tale where my childhood, my family was like, they were totally fractured the rest of the time. But so I really love that. So I have to acknowledge that, you know, that because my, you know, my old way is like, I feel sad because I don't have, you know, a family that I can go to, and I haven't gotten where I need to be in my career. And if I had gotten where I need to be in my career, then I would have the money to have the fanciful holiday bonanza. And if I had the perfect partner, then I would be fulfilled. Like, that's the thinking mind. But then, like, the little kid, which I wrote this morning, what do you want? Is like, I want to drink hot chocolate with whipped cream. I want to have a tree and put lights on it. I want to watch the Muppet Christmas Carol movie. Like, okay, like, I can actually do those things. And even though it seems silly, like, oh, I did have hot chocolate with whipped cream today. And, like, something clicked inside. Like, just that sense of, like, seeing myself and not making it some big drama and some big story about my who I am and what I need and, like, getting caught up in my mind. Just, like, there's this tender, simple part, playful, joyful, like, demanding, really, really sad a lot of the time, and often extremely caught up with the idea that I'm not enough. Like, that's one that comes up all the time when I hear my kid. It's like, I'm not enough. I'm afraid I'm not enough. Whatever happens, I don't get the job, the guy leaves or whatever, it's because I'm not enough. And, like, I guess now that I say that, these little actions of recognition that I am enough, that I can show up, that I can, like, take these little actions of self-care and like, I need to do it. I can't just try to get it from the outside because it doesn't come from the outside. And when it does come from the outside, actually, it can be wonderful feeling, but it can also be really, like, addictive and kind of like, okay, now I'm on the treadmill. Like, now I'm going to get it. And then I just keep wanting to get it and, like, running to get it. And it's such a gentler way to live, to be like, oh, these are the little things that I want and that I need, and they're so manageable. So that's my story. Thanks.